Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we definitely have a crisis in the relationship of the family in our day, which, you know, it's pronounced in our day. It's always been this way. I think that at the fall of Adam, you have the disruption in the home, the crisis within the family relationship. You have the reversal of roles. Just simply go into any supermarket and you'll find it very quickly how the children want to rise up and rule over the parents, and too many parents give in to that rulership of their children, and you have that reversal of roles that goes on in the home, and therefore you have no instruction, you have no guidance, you have no discipline. And then they grow up and they become criminals in this world, and the difficulty in that cycle is perpetual, and it becomes worse and worse for us living in this world. You have parents, mothers and fathers who are pursuing careers. They are pursuing all the material things of this world to the neglect of their children. Stuffing their children into a daycare is not the Christian ethic. It's not what is taught in Scripture. We read that, didn't we, in the Old Covenant reading in Deuteronomy 6. We read what the responsibility of the parents is to train up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Children are going to ask questions, and even as the questions were asked to the saints of old, what meaneth this particular thing? The parents ought to be able to explain that. And we have a crisis in the church that so many can't even explain the simple things of the Bible. This is the teaching, what we have in the New Testament. The apostle instructs us as godly parents how we are to live before the true and living God, how we are to train up our children in the way that they should go. Now, before we look at our text this morning, I want to say, as fathers, and not simply the fathers, but this text also directs to parents, none of us here are perfect parents. We understand that. None of us here have done everything that we ought to be doing. We have failed in different areas, different aspects, yet there is forgiveness with the Lord. We ought to recognize the places that we have failed in raising up our children, and we ought to repent of those things. And that as we are in the Word, reading and studying God's Word, the Spirit of God works upon our hearts and makes the corrections there. And again, this becomes the problem, that if we don't spend the due diligence in the teaching of God's Word, it's going to be a vicious cycle that's just going to be continuing. We'll be like a spiritual yo-yo. We'll be up and down, up and down. We need to have the consistency. But I just want you to know that this is the ethic of Scripture. This is what God calls us to. This is the Christian ethic. We don't do it perfectly, but we ought to be on the road to repenting and doing the right thing. And where you are corrected in your life, even this morning, beloved, repent of those things. If the Lord convicts your heart through a particular aspect of His Word, confess it to Him. There is forgiveness with the Lord. He does forgive His people. And pray for the continual ministry of the Spirit in your life. Child rebellion is like epidemic in our culture. I went online and I looked at the statistics of the U.S. Department of Justice, the Office of Juvenile Justice. Now, listen to this. Kind of give you an understanding of where we are in our society with our children. There was a 2014 survey. And in 2014, the survey declares there were 1,024,000 arrests of children under 18. A million arrests of children. Now they break it down. I'm not going to read every little thing, but let me highlight some things here. Violent crimes. There were 53,500 violent crimes of children 18 years old and younger. Of those violent crimes, murder and manslaughter, there were 800. 3,300 arrests for rape. 19,400 arrests for robbery. 30,000 aggravated assaults. And many of those were in the home against the parents. There were 234,200 property crimes. And that ranges from burglary, larceny, theft, motor vehicle theft, 40,000 burglaries. Other assaults, 139,100 from forgery and counterfeiting, fraud and embezzlement, stolen property, 10,000 arrests, 45,000 arrests for vandalism, 20,000 arrests for carrying a concealed weapon. Drug abuse, 112,000 children were arrested for drug abuse. 53,000 for liquor violation, 80,000 for disorderly conduct, and all the other offenses, 186,000. There's a problem. There's a problem in this world. And many times we see that problem in the church. Parents not instructing the children, children rising up in their rebellion, and sometimes killing their parents. You would be shocked to hear of all the children that have killed their parents, who have plotted. Just think of the Menendez brothers. How they plotted to kill their parents, to steal their fortune. And so it goes on. And what is the problem with this? I mean, it stems from the fall. It's the sin. It's the rebellion in our heart. And we as Christians are instructed everywhere in the Word of God how to treat our children, how to raise up, especially in the church, our covenant children, how we are to look at them, how we are to view them, how we are to treat them. There is a lot of physical neglect that goes on in this world, but beloved, there is a lot of spiritual neglect that goes on in the church. The children are spiritually neglected because parents are failing. They simply are lazy, or they just simply won't do what they are called to do, and the neglect of their children, and then they grow up and they have children, and so on and so forth. And then you wonder why we have the difficulties and the problems in the Church of Jesus Christ. How often do we as parents take our children through the writing of the Proverbs to instruct them in what godly character looks like? These are not to be saved. These are because we are the saved of Jesus Christ. You can't do anything to save yourself. God saves you, and when He saves you, you have a new nature, new desire, new disposition, and it must be worked out in your life. It must be seen in accordance with the teaching of Scripture. It must be that which is consistent with the teaching of Scripture. Not a perfection, but it must be there as something that is completely opposite to the ways of the world. Because we are light in the Lord. We are no longer in darkness. We are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We are no longer totally depraved. We have been those who have been liberated by the Spirit of God to walk in righteousness. This is to what we have been called to. We have been saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beloved, we as Christians, we as those who are the redeemed of Jesus Christ, we alone understand correctly how to minister to our children, how to perceive them. Even in this Ephesians 6 passage, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not an option, children. That's not a suggestion to you. That is a commandment from God to you, to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But notice that the Apostle Paul calls the children saints, because this is what he does. He addresses the letter to the saints in Ephesus, and he calls them children, so by implication, they are saints in Christ Jesus. It's a covenant home. That's how you're to view your children. You're to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You're to teach them God's Word. And we're the only ones that understand how to teach our children and care for our children. You know, in the Roman world, when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, it was very barbaric. Fathers had absolute right and authority. They had such an absolute right and authority that when a child was born, he could determine whether or not that child lives or dies. And letters were found in the ancient world, and some of the letters were simply that if it was a boy, he was to be kept. If it was a girl, she was to be killed. That was the Roman world of that time. You know, the Roman world, Seneca was a Roman statesman. And Seneca wrote one time, at the same time, contemporary with the Apostle Paul as he's writing the book of Ephesians, he says that we slaughter ox and we strangle pigs and mad dogs. We put a knife in a cow, and he says that those who are deformed and weakened as children, we kill them too. That's how they view children in that day. That's not to be the view of one redeemed and purchased and bought by Christ. Your view, beloved, as your child to your children is dictated by God's word. Children, do you hear this, children? Children are a blessing from the Lord. They are a responsibility for the parents. It's a stewardship for you as parents. They are not yours to do with as you please. They are a blessing from the Lord, and you are called to steward them for God's glory and for that child's good. And you know what? That barbarism that I just spoke of in the Roman world, we still have it today. How about abortion? How about the late-term abortions? How about the prostitution of children and kidnapping them? Child pornography. It's barbaric. When Maria was in her second trimester, she contracted the German measles. And her temperature was 104 degrees. She was very sick. Took her into the hospital. And they got her temperature, all that medication. Took care of her. And we went to see her doctor. And her doctor said to us this: I would recommend that you have an abortion. Because in all the children that I have delivered, when there is a sickness like that in the mother, the baby will have a deformity. So my recommendation for you is that your wife has an abortion. How's that for comfort? How's that for humanity? How's that for the way of the world in their view? I said, I don't think so, Doc. Life and death is in the hand of the Lord. No matter what the child is born with, God has given them to the parents to steward. And that's the way you look at it. Because that's the way that the Scriptures declare it. The Christians in the early church were those that gathered up all the children that were cast out. The ones that were to die were exposed. They were left beside garbage dumps. And the Christians have maintained a habit of going around and collecting up these children and raising them up, adopting them, bringing them into the homes. Because the love of Christ constrains us, doesn't it? That's how we are to live, beloved. We're to train up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. As Paul says, this is Spirit-filled living. This is how we live as those who are filled with the Spirit of God as we instruct our children. Now, let's look at our text this morning. Let me give you 2 points. The first one is avoiding wrath. The second one is teaching them well. Paul says this in verse 4, and you fathers. Now, the Greek term fathers, pateras, it's a plural form. It doesn't simply refer to the fathers. He is addressing particularly here fathers, but it also has application to parents, so mother and father. In Hebrews 11, it's used this way with regards to the parents of Moses. The same Greek term is used to, is translated as parents. The force of it is that the father has the oversight of the home. The training of the children has the responsibility of the father. You understand, as the head of the home, what you are called to. You are to oversee, you are to make sure that your children are being raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Whether you put your children in a Christian school, whether you homeschool them, whatever the case may be, you are one to make sure that your children are being trained up in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. It's a present tense imperative. God commands this, and present tense, it's a continual, habitual action in the life of the father. You are to be continually, habitually instructing your children, overseeing the household. Yes, you may delegate things. Yes, you may give certain particular things to your wife to handle these. And rightly so. But over all of it, you are the one who is responsible. So if it's not getting done, you are responsible for that, not your wife. You are to be responsible as the covenant head of your family to raise them up, to train them. And if they're not getting done, if you've delegated it and your wife is not doing what she's called to do, then you are the one to make that correction. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. So understand that primarily you are responsible for your home. Now, you think about Achan when he stole some articles, hid them in his tent, and he was found out because the children of Israel had a fight with Ai and they lost that battle. And Joshua came back and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said there's sin in the camp. So Achan was brought out and he was found out. And this is what it says, you know, beware, your sin will find you out. The Lord revealed that, and Achan was killed. And it wasn't just Achan, along with his whole family and all of his possessions. The covenant head, the consequences of his action went all the way down through his family. And even the children who didn't do what he did were under his responsibility as the covenant head. So understand that, beloved. Understand that, you father. Understand that, parents. You have a real blessed stewardship in raising up your children. You are to train up a child in the way that he should go. In other words, you narrow the way that he goes. You are the one who directs the way that he goes. This will be seen as we look further into this particular text. But the apostle says, do not provoke your children to wrath. Notice what he says there. Don't provoke them. Don't cause a deep-seated anger that grows in the heart of your children. Now, how do you do that? How do you cause your children to grow in wrath and anger towards you as a father or towards the parents of the home? There are many different things that can cause that, but let me give you a few. And just think about David and Absalom. Do you remember what happened in that situation where Amnon raped Absalom's sister? And it was his half-sister. It was Amnon, Tamar, his half-sister. And he raped her. And David did nothing about it. David didn't discipline his son. Should have put him to death. But he didn't. He let it go on. And it continued to fester. And this ought to be an example to us, beloved. You got to deal with your difficulties and your problems. You have to deal with your sin. You cannot sweep it by the carpet. You cannot say it'll go away. You cannot say it'll take care of itself. It doesn't take care of itself. It festers in your heart and it grows and it produces bitterness that chokes out your spiritual life and you become angry, you become slanderous, you become one who's a gossip and a backbiting against other individuals because of the bitterness growing in your heart. It chokes out your worship of the Lord. Instructive passage. That Absalom, he kept this in his heart. And it grew in his heart. And so 3 years later, he tells his father David, I want all of my brothers to go out sheep shearing with me. Because we're going to have a festive time. And David said, okay. And he took them out. And Absalom had already conspired with some of his servants and said, when Amnon becomes well drunk, strike him with the sword. Because bitterness in his heart did not go away. It continued to fester and he wanted revenge. And that was a result of David not doing what he should have done as a father. The same thing he did with Absalom. Absalom rose up in a coup attempt to cast David off the throne and he let him live. And then he was angry when Joab thrust him through with a spear. He should have been put to death. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Children, the word translated children there is the Greek term technon. And it simply means any child of any age, offspring in the home. And it's a training up until adulthood. So, you children who may be 18, 19, 20 years old are viewed in this way. Although you're not a child, you're in young adulthood. But if you're still under the roof of your parents, it's your duty to submit to their authority. Until you start your own family unit. Okay, so what is it that fathers, mothers, parents do to provoke their children to wrath? Let me give you a few things. How about overprotection? You're so zealous to protect your children that you don't let them do anything. That is not biblical. You are to teach them so that enables them to do. You are to raise them up in a manner that prepares them to leave the home nest. I don't want to sound cruel or rude here, but one of the best things that happened in our marriage with Maria, the marriage relationship, is when our daughter left the home and got her own family unit. That's biblical. It's unbiblical to have your children who are 40 years old living with you. That is not the biblical paradigm. You are to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord so that they might be joined to their wife or husband and those two become one flesh and a family unit to worship the Lord. So teach them, beloved. Teach them how to behave so that when they go out and do particular things, as you let them go out and do particular things, they do them for God's glory. And they understand rightly how to do these particular things. Another thing that you provoke your children around is with favoritism. Favoring one child over another. You are going to produce strife within the children if you do that. You are going to cause difficulty. You're going to cause hatred of one child over another. Think about Isaac and Rebekah. Think about Jacob and Esau. Esau was favored by Isaac. Jacob was favored by Rebekah, and it caused strife between the two brothers because of the way that the parents raised them up. Don't favor your children one over another. Don't push your children to overachievement. It's not the end of the world if they get a B. But they always get A's. Well, not this time. Don't push them to overachievement. Yes, teach them to do the best work that they can for God's glory. But if they're not gifted in a certain area, or maybe they don't like to do certain things, don't force that on them. Why would you force that on them? I read of a girl one time who could have been like the next Tiger Woods, they said. And she was followed by the news media in high school for her golfing ability. And she golfed and she won every tournament that she was in. And she was then recruited by all the colleges in the nation to come and play golf for their team. And she did, and she went and she played. And when she graduated from college, she disappeared off of the chart, off of, you know, the golfing world, if you would. And find out what happened to her later, said she hated golf. She never wanted to golf. But her dad made her. And as soon as she had the opportunity to leave it, she got away. And then she demonstrated, didn't she? She had bitterness in her heart towards her dad for forcing her to do all the long hours of things that she had no desire to do, even though she had an ability to do it. She didn't want to do it. Don't be overbearing on your children. Don't discourage them. Don't say nasty things to them. Don't tell them they're dumb. Don't tell them they're ugly. Don't tell them they'll never make anything of themselves. Don't tell them, why can't you be like your older brother or your sister? Don't tell them those things. You'll provoke them to anger, to a deep-seated anger in their heart. You ever hear of Johnny Cash's story? His brother died in a saw accident. And his father told him, it should have been you that died in that saw. How'd you like to live your life that way? Knowing your dad wanted you to be the one that died. Don't do that. Don't be a hypocrite in your disciplining of your children. Don't tell them things like, do as I say, not as I do. You lead by example. Instruct by your word and your works, your life. You need to have that balance. You need the balance of encouragement. You need the balance of discipline. Don't fail to discipline your children. And teach them why they're disciplined. If you have to discipline with a spanking, you pull them aside and you spank them and you explain to them why you're doing what you're doing, that they have sinned against the Lord. And God calls you as a parent to raise up your children. And as the children look to the parents, they are to honor their father and mother. So from a child's point of view, there is equality in the relationship of husband and wife. The husband is the head. The wife is the helpmeet. But that relationship is not that the children look and make distinctions between the parents of who has the more authority. So you wives, when you discipline, discipline. Don't say wait until your father gets home and then gives them the wrong aspect of how they are to treat the mother. Well, mom doesn't have the authority that dad has. No, for you children, they do. If she says it, as if the father said it. And you listen to your mother. So, be faithful in that. And then the second point is, notice that we are to teach them up. That wrath is that slow-seated anger that provokes them to break out against you. And in turn, what we are to do then, what we are to replace that with, is to train them well. Train them up. Bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Nourish them. Rear them up. Feed them. Bring them to a certain maturity through your instruction, through your teaching. It's how you mold and shape. You know, if you were going to make a waterway in a property, let's say that you lived on a farm and you had a waterway that you need to redirect. You go in there and you make that waterway and you keep chopping it away. And all the time, the water is still flowing, but you're redirecting it as you chop away at certain soil. And this is the nourishing that goes up, the bringing up, the training that happens. You are training them all the while that they are still in motion. You are doing this work. That's the calling right there. Again, it's present tense imperative. God commands us to keep on teaching our children this way. Keep on bringing them up. Keep on overseeing them, nourishing them, feeding them. And the training there, the Greek term paideia, it simply means to instruct with discipline and correction. And that's through the Word of God. Because all Scripture is given by God by inspiration and is profitable for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So you bring them to the Word. You train them in this way. It's educative discipline, isn't it? Instructing them, showing them. You instruct them in their life with regards to their mind and their morals. Take them to the Proverbs. Guide them, beloved. That's our calling. How will they know? How will they know how to live? What examples do they have? The admonition that we're called to bring them, and that training and admonition has to do with nothetic. It has to do with the mind. So the Greek term is in reference to the mind of the individual. You are to put to mind by word. You instruct your children, you are to admonish them by word. Isn't that what we read in Deuteronomy 6? Teach them when you sit down, when you're in the country, when you're in the city. You're taking all of those occasions to teach your children about the Lord. You are taking those occasions to teach them about man's guilt. You are teaching them about the grace of God. You are teaching them about how they are to live in gratitude. Beloved, teach your children about hell. Teach your children about sin, about God's holiness and His justice and His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace and His love towards His people. Teach your children these things in the Word. Take them through the Word. Be faithful to be in the Word with your children, instructing them as you read through the Word. The whole counsel of God, not bits and pieces, but work your way through all the books. So you find all the difficulties that are there in the book of Leviticus. And then maybe that you have to do a little research to be able to explain some of these things. But your children need to know that it's an abomination for a woman to lie with a woman as she lies with a man, or a man to lie with a man as he would lie with a woman. So they're not instructed by the world that that's just an alternative lifestyle. No, it's under the condemnation of God. This is how they are to live. And how will they know unless you train them up in these particular ways? You are to nourish them spiritually. You are to care for them physically. You are to instruct them how to live socially, how to get along with their neighbor, how to interact with their children in the home, with their brothers and sisters, why they do these particular things. Tell them why they are to do it. Because they are those that have been purchased by the Lord. Beloved, we need to have love. We need to have discipline. We need to have consistency. And we need to have good examples in the home. Now, we fall short. I'm not standing here acting like you're way down here and I'm way up here. That's not the case. There are many things that I look back and I realize I should have done differently. It's done. I can't do anything about it now. Maybe you have another opportunity through your grandchildren. Maybe through that and learning and then coming to a particular understanding through the Word, that then you can speak to your adult children in an appropriate way to help guide them. That's a blessing of aging, isn't it? To continue to instruct the family. He says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord is a phrase that's in the genitive, possession. Training and admonition that belongs to God. There is no room for humanistic, paganistic teaching in the home. That's to be rejected. And you are to teach your children from the Word of God how they are to live their lives. Beloved, take them to Jesus. Show them Christ in the Word. Show them how He forgives all of our sins. Show them how He was punished in our place that we might become the children of the living God. Show them how He was condemned so that believing in Him, trusting in Him, we would not be condemned. Bring them to Jesus through the Word. The greatest that we have of responsibility is to train them up by causing them to look upon Jesus in the Word. Show them the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Take them to the book of Genesis and show that He is promised in the first proclamation of the gospel in Genesis 3, and that He is the fulfillment of that in John 1, as John the Baptizer said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Take them, beloved. Take them to the Word. Keep them in the Word. Teach them how to cultivate that in their lives, that they might grow, and that they might, as they grow up, they might be trained up to train up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's the calling that we have of the church. And you children, you let your parents, you submit to their authority. You let them teach you. It's good for you to sit under the Word. It's good for you to be here and worship. It's good for you to come to Sunday school. It's good for you to read the Bible at home. It's good for you. You submit to the authority of your mother and father, for this is right. And so, packed in these four verses, as we looked at the last time we were in Ephesians, you children have a responsibility to obey. And you parents have a responsibility to teach, to love, to discipline, and to nurture your children for the glory of God. Let's get at it and be more faithful and consistent, that God would be glorified in all that we think, say, and do as the church. Amen. Shall we pray?